I call American Exposé. Here it is, the 30th of September, 2005, the last day of September, the last day on WWCR. It was financially impossible to continue on WWCR.
Here we see.
As the network is just too expensive for the network to cover WWCR. And I understand that, and I'm sorry that the support wasn't there for that. And so we moved to WWRB 11920 on Monday. WWRB 11920. You know, it's not my responsibility to educate you and finance it, too. I just can't do it. I've done it before. I'm sorry. I am very, very sorry. But this is the way it is. A lot of these things that I cover, everyone should know and understand and realize. And I mean this. I mean, we have the 20th century to learn by. We have Korea and Vietnam to learn by. We have another Korea and Vietnam going on right now in the Middle East, and most people don't have a clue about that. That is not my fault, and it is not my responsibility to educate them about this. It's your responsibility to want to learn more. And most of you are wide awake, and this is the big problem. This is why every one of you have to find one more listener, and then they have to find one more listener after that if you want to increase our numbers. No sooner did I get off the air yesterday than I received a phone call that there's massive fires in California. And how did I close out the broadcast? Get used to forest fire, climate scientist warns. A forest fire researcher says the Yukon is likely to continue to burn in years to come as the effects of climate change turn up the heat in the woods. This is the big deal with the Kyoto Protocol. This is what Hurricane Katrina and Rita are being blamed for. Weather modification is highly suspect in this. And yet, global warming is the problem, according to quote-unquote scientists. Who are these scientists? And let's have a debate between scientists that agree and disagree. Let's have a public debate. Have you ever watched live TV in your life with a public debate regarding climate change? See how we're being maneuvered and manipulated on a daily basis? And we learn so much about things now that we have websites and people that do the webs. And at this point in time, if people don't want to see for themselves what's going on, well, I can't help them. You can't help them. But there are people that want to learn. And the Environmental Modification Convention from 1977 is there. It's on the website. Weather Modification Research and Technology Transfer Authorization Act of 2005. It's there on the website. AmericanExpose.com. On September 10th, 2001, FEMA came out and with a press release stating there were three events that could cripple our country. One, a terrorist attack in New York. One occurred the next day. And two, a massive hurricane hitting New Orleans. Bingo! And three, a major earthquake on the West Coast. It's all there on AmericanExpose.com, which I don't have credit for, and I'm happy to say that. Working together is the key for restoring a constitutional republic that we've never lived under. We should be visited by John Trockman today. Amazing. Haven't heard from him in a long time. Let's see what happens. We'll be back. Stay with us. See. What's happened down south, do I call it a created disaster? Let's call it a natural disaster. Here we see from the World Heritage Treaty, December 17th, 1975. Keep this in mind, this is 1975, Article 11, Section 4. This is regarding the World Heritage Treaty, listeners. The committee shall establish, keep up to date, and publish whenever circumstances shall so require. under the title List of World Heritage in Danger, a list of the property appearing in the World Heritage for the conservation of which major operations are necessary and for which assistance has been requested under this convention. This list shall contain an estimate of the cost of such operations. The list may include only such property forming part of the cultural and natural heritage as is threatened by serious and specific dangers, such as the threat of disappearance caused by accelerated deterioration, large-scale public or private projects, or rapid urban or tourist development projects, destruction caused by changes in the use or ownership of the land, major alterations due to unknown causes, abandonment for any reason whatsoever, the outbreak or the threat of an armed conflict, calamities and cataclysms, serious fires, earthquakes, landslides, volcanic eruptions, changes in water level, listeners, floods and tidal waves. The committee may at any time, that's right, the World Heritage Committee may at any time, in case of urgent need, make a new entry in the list of World Heritage in danger and publicize such entry immediately. Back in 1975, this was a done deal. Now, how many parts of this southern, quote-unquote, region that's been devastated by two hurricanes will be a World Heritage Zone? There is the question that we ask, or I ask, and you should be asking. We have the biological, or the biodiversity map, showing the areas where we will not be permitted to own, use, or even travel the land. We also have the International Trade Corridor map, which is commonly called the NAFTA corridors, which is just the main artery, I-35. And then we have offshoots going east to west that you can see as well, that will go east to west. That's going to be the culmination of $386 billion in the highway bill. How can that be a done deal, and how can that come forward with all this devastation that's happened south of us now? And what was the purpose of having $286 billion for a highway bill when our highways are adequate? And yet they want to take us out of our automobiles, and they want to make it more expensive to travel. And here we are, the high price of gasoline continuing to rise. It's being done right now. It's being maneuvered right now, but people don't realize this is happening. Just like people don't understand there's an Environmental Modification Convention, May 18th, 1977, from the State Department. The National Geographic magazine has information about Louisiana's wetlands. And yet I look in the paper, one of the only pieces or articles of the devastation that I saved, the front page, Sunday, September 11th, 2005. I mean, right after this happens, Making Peace in the Ruins is the title of this front page article. And they say, while Americans watch the worst of New Orleans unfold, some experts insist the great jazz city can be rebuilt better than before. But cleaning up this mess likely will take years, with a new city slowly emerging in phases and wetlands replacing flood-prone areas. And there's the first indicator of the direction that's coming into place. We covered Order Out of Chaos. So it's a CBS article dated September 11th, 2005. The levees broke 22 hours after the storm hit New Orleans, and they blamed it on a barge. But then there's witnesses that have claimed that there was residue of explosives on the walls of the levees. Then we see Bush wanting more power with federal troops, and then FEMA, and then 40 states in this country in a state of emergency. Never in human history in America has there been a mass relocation of populations. and now we have it. Then we see U.S. orders military redeployments within borders, their borders, as massive volcanic activity detected in their Pacific Coast and New Madrid fault zone regions. And this is called Operation Ophelia. Haven't covered it. I haven't covered it, but it's on the website, listeners. Then you have the top secret Pentagon Operation Granite Shadow, revealed commandos in the streets. Then you learn about global giving and the Food Circles Networking Project, Food and Security Policy Fellows Program. Much going on in our country that's covered by Dennis the Menace. Much information on the website for you to dissect on a daily basis. Almost a daily basis. Some days it takes 3 days to get through 1 day of information on the website, which has become the most current event website on the internet at this point in time. And it's, I don't take credit for it, and happy to say that. So here we go, listeners. We have a flu epidemic that could kill 150 million people, according to the United Nations out of Reuters. And what are we living with? A Hegelian dialectic society, a set-up situation where, at all costs, reduction of the human population is mandated. Reduction of the human population is needed and mandated, according to those in charge, Maurice Strong, the Rockefeller Clan, the Rothschild Clan, the Federal Reserve Group. So we're in this. We're in this gigantic mess. After all these years of the 20th century to learn by, World War I, the sinking of the Lusitania, which G. Edward Griffin exposed the fact that the German government tried to put ads in every paper in the country warning the people of America to not sail on the Lusitania. It is a ship of war. It will be treated as a ship of war. It will be sunk if found in the waters coming to England. And so what did they do? They did not print. What did we do? We did not print that article except in one paper, the Des Moines Register. One paper, the Des Moines Register, warned the American people, do not sail on the Lusitania. All the other newspapers did not cover that the Germans warned. And then the Lusitania sunk. And 2 years later, that was the impetus to get us into World War I. To save England's behind. Lord Admiralty Winston Churchill, the Secretary of the Navy, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and so many years later, here comes World War II. And during the 1930s, Prescott Bush and his associates were instrumental in building up Adolf Hitler. But yet, in 1936, listeners, Germany and Japan signed a pact not to fight each other, but to fight the international Comintern. The international Comintern. Let me try and find this real quickly for you that have never heard this before, because we're living it today. We're living the international Comintern right now. And there it is. And this comes from the Avalon Project at Yale Law School. Anti-Comintern Pact, German-Japanese Agreement and Supplementary Protocol, signed in Berlin, November 25th, 1936. Believing that the toleration of interference by the Communistic International in the internal affairs of nations not only endangers their internal peace and social welfare, but threatens the general peace of the world. This is Germany and Japan, listeners. The high contracting states agree that they will mutually keep each other informed concerning the activities of the Communistic International, will confer upon the necessary measure of defense, and will carry out such measures in close cooperation. The high contracting states, and this is Article 2, will jointly invite third states whose internal peace is menaced by the disintegrating work of the Communistic International, to adopt defensive measures in the spirit of the present agreement, or to participate in the present agreement. It goes on, but the bottom line is Germany and Japan did not want to have communism in their country. And what do we have now, America? And welcome back to the broadcast called American Exposé. So this anti-Comintern pact from 1936 brings Japan and Germany together to fight international communism. And I go back to Article 3 now, or back to the Comintern, the anti-Comintern pact, which is, we go to Article 3. The Japanese and German texts are each valid as the original text of this agreement. The agreement shall come into force on the day of its signature and shall remain in force for the term of 5 years. The High Contracting States will, in a reasonable time before the expiration of the said term, come to an understanding upon the further manner of their cooperation. In witness thereof, the undersigned duly authorized by their respective governments have affixed hereto their seals and signatures. And this is done in duplicate in Berlin, November 25th. And then they say 11th year of Shoah, corresponding to November 25th. 1936. The Anti-Comintern Pact. Germany and Japan making a pact to fight international communism. What do we have in America today? 45 communist goals being implemented right now. The 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto being implemented right now. Doesn't make any sense. Then on January 1st, 1942, just a little less than a month after Pearl Harbor was attacked, of which Washington had foreknowledge that it was going to happen, sacrificing all those that died at Pearl Harbor. We have the Declaration of the United Nations, January 1st, 1942. It's a joint declaration by the United States, the United Kingdom, and the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, China, Australia, Belgium, Canada, it goes on. Eventually, during the entire Second World War, every country in the world signed on to this United Nations Pact. It connected from the Atlantic Charter. So this happened during the Second World War. The United Nations was in place during the Second World War. They just had to get the people of the world to sign on to it. So what did they do? They dropped two atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Hiroshima and Nagasaki. When they could have dropped two atomic bombs on Iwo Jima and Okinawa and saved all those lives, but that wasn't the point. Our soldiers were wary of island hopping in the Pacific. And yet, thousands of Marines died on Iwo Jima and Okinawa. And then, they're getting ready to invade Japan. And supposedly 25 million were ready to defend their country. As Japan had been carpet bombed the entire year of 1945. There wasn't much left of Japan. And shoot, the incendiaries, the napalm, it was all there. And it was used in the Vietnam War as well. So anyway, we've had created situations. We have maneuvers that have been going on during the 20th century. We should have 100 million people wide awake right now in our country. And maybe we do. Maybe we do. Let's move to the phones, 800-313-9443. Keep in mind, what do we have right now? 40 chapters of Agenda 21 being implemented right now. And the 40th chapter is information for decision-making. Think about that. Information for decision-making. In other words, totalitarian police staying in place, coming into place, Homeland Security. Sheldon, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello, Chris.
Hi, Sheldon.
Here we have FEMA camps in Rhode Island, Oklahoma, and...
Oh, come on, you're talking about concentration camps. That can't be. Come on.
Oh, yeah. I was just watching CNN, and the CNN reporter, Susan Candiotti, she just had a five-minute story on a FEMA camp in Charlotte County, Florida, Punta Gorda.
Uh-huh.
And this He was talking about how this camp is 10 miles away from the nearest town. There's been 14 suicides there since the camp opened up, and their cover story is that, oh, we got to find affordable housing for these people, and these people can't afford it. But figuratively, you know, it's a concentration camp. Maybe not literally the way we thought of it in Germany, but they'll gradually open up.
Maybe those people didn't commit suicide. Maybe they resisted and were suicided.
That could be.
They didn't want to accept what they were being told that they had to do.
I just wanted to throw that in because, you know, this ain't being talked a lot about quite.
No, it's not being talked about at all. And where did all these populations go?
Yeah, like the 5,000 that were supposed to show up in Fort Riley, Minnesota.
Yes. And the concentration camp program in America has been in place. What's happened to BRAC, base realignment and closure? Well, many of these military bases might have been realigned just as that, concentration camps.
Possibly. Thanks for the call, Chris.
Okay, very good, Sheldon. Very, very possible that this is the case. Concentration camps in America. Who would ever think? Who would have ever thought of this? Well, it's been in plan for a long time. William Pabst sued the federal government during the Ford administration, the Gerald Ford administration, of the concentration camp program. I have that document right here. That entire document, the entire lawsuit of William Pabst suing the federal government for the concentration camp program, and Henry Kissinger, and Donald Rumsfeld was sued as well, Secretary of Defense at the time during the Gerald Ford administration. We'll be back to continue with the broadcast. We might be visited by John Trockman. Haven't heard from him in a long time. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Storm clouds are out forming. Winds of change now touch our shores.
That's a mellow one from Poker Face. Pokerface.com. That's Pokerface.com. That's their website. Here we see Army in worst recruiting slump in decades, dated the 30th of September. The Army is closing the books on one of the leanest recruiting years since it became an all-volunteer service 3 decades ago, missing its enlistment target by the largest margin since 1979, and raising questions about its plans for growth. Well, why wouldn't they have a recruiting shortfall? Why would anyone go on another United Nations police mission as we've already experienced Vietnam and Korea? Did you know that 8,000 POWs never returned from Korea? And that was because of the severe harsh weather, as our soldiers were stuck because they were in a holding mode and our administration would not let General MacArthur take out Communist China. Because they didn't want to involve Communist China, because it would have escalated into World War III, supposedly. Baloney. We were the strongest military on the face of the earth at the time. We could have taken out Communist China back in 1951, 1950. We could have saved free China from Communist China. But that wasn't allowed by our administration back then. The Truman administration, the White House. Let me ask you, is George Walker Bush any worse than Harry Truman? Listeners? Is George Walker Bush any worse than Lyndon Baines Johnson or Richard Nixon? If you can remember back that far, all I'm saying is the White House has been complicit in implementation of the Communistic International, the wars for national liberation, things that are being experienced right now in other countries to flood our country with immigration and migration. Let's move back to the phones, 800-313-9443. Let's take Eric. Hello, Eric.
How's it going, Chris?
Fine, thank you.
Yeah, you know, on some of these terms, terminologies, people need to be very careful, too, because, like, using the term liberal is not necessarily a good indication of what the term means, or neoliberal. Are you know, being based on quote-unquote Christian principles, Christ was, you know, no matter if you want to get into the debate of whether he really existed or not or whatever, and there's plenty of people out there trying to argue that point, is Christian principles are liberal. You know, taking care of the poor, the needy, building a system, and even our forefathers who built our country, supposedly, and created the Constitution and Bill of Rights, set it up in such a fashion that it was, quote-unquote, to be a free society, where certain things were guaranteed. And I'm not talking like socialism or communism or whatever, but those are some of the terms that come to mind that people throw out there, like candy, and almost use as disinformation. But a commonwealth, as some of our states were set up, I think Pennsylvania, there's a bunch of different ones, there's certain things that have to remain in the public trust. When things get to a grand scale, like, say, our interstate highway system, that's something that's supposed to be held within the public trust for all, rich and poor. It's not something that's supposed to be privatized and put into the hands of a private trust.
And to create toll roads.
Exactly. That's what they're trying to do now.
Yeah.
And our society and our civilization, when you get to a certain point, certain things need to be guaranteed. They need to, like, Library of Congress is a perfect example. That's a resource of information and knowledge that all people should be. It's a common, a commons or a common ground or part of the commonwealth, along with water, transportation. I mean, a lot of what's been going on is attacks by the private interests, Rothschilds, those who love usury, those who used to be the goldsmiths and used to water down the gold and pass out, you know, gold certificates or whatever, and then actually set up these systems of fractionalization with our monetary system currency, to where now they're doing the same thing with everything else, federal contracting, labor, all of the natural resources of the United States. They're basically trying to dissolve our country from within, have put corporate types in charge of the federal government so that they can spin off and privatize not only the job of the federal government, but actually the assets and resources. And it's identical to what Martin Bormann did in Nazi Germany as Germany was falling. He expatriated over 750 corporations out of the country, and that's exactly what's going on now, is they're taking bits and pieces of the federal government, privatizing them here within the United States, and then spinning them off internationally and moving those what were public trusts and public assets, part of the U.S. Treasury for all people, rich and poor, to protect us all, like even the money that should have gone towards repairing the levees down in New Orleans and stuff. It's all being confiscated through these games of administrative piracy, put into the hands of private individuals, and then moved overseas. And, I mean, everything that's going on in the United States is almost textbook to what went on in World War II. And now we've taken on the position of where, you know, Nazi Germany was at that time, and China now has become the United States somehow. And if you think about that, it's just,
horrible.
Disturbing as hell.
And you're quite educated. You've educated yourself.
I also went to a Federal Service Military Academy and, you know, private parochial schools. I'm very well educated. And, you know, on a lot of this stuff, I've also read books like there's one out. It's Dr. Egelish, and it's The Thieves in the Temple. If you think about it, you know, Christ was killed